Hello and welcome back to the Rooted Podcast. I'm your host, Cassandra, and I'm so grateful that you're here with me today. So in today's episode, I am sitting down with Elizabeth Campagna. She is the brand and web designer behind Rising Rose Collective. Now, this isn't an episode dedicated to design. Rather, through getting to know Elizabeth, both as a human being and as my own personal graphic and web designer for my landing site that's in motion as we speak, I knew I wanted to have her on the podcast as a means to share her heart, her gifts, and just her outlook on life as it relates to design. And as it relates to our authenticity, it's such an important conversation to have, especially as we, as humans, have never had this much access to one another as we do today. It can feel really suffocating and incredibly intense, and just above all else, it can feel really overwhelming. Within minutes, we can forget who it is that we are, what it is that we love, and why it is that we do what we do, simply because we're falling down a comparison trap of someone else's highlight reel, or how they choose to decorate their house, or what they're offering within their businesses, or the soothing color tones of their website. It's just messy. But there are ways around this. There are ways to always come back to our center, to remember the root of our essence and just what it is that makes us, you, me, unique, and celebrating that. I believe wholeheartedly that after hearing Elizabeth on today's show, you'll not only approach social media in comparison differently, but my hope is that you'll have more compassion for yourself in those moments where you feel stuck and unsure and confused. So cozy up, get some coffee, and let's jump into the show with Elizabeth Campagna of Rising Rose Collective. Elizabeth, I'm so thankful that you're here and that you were willing to come on the show. I found you through your sister, Emma, who was on the podcast a while back. It was like episode 124, I think. It was such a potent, incredible episode. And she talked so much about you and her relationship to you, which is so special. And I almost immediately beelined for Instagram to find you and to take you in myself when we were done. And she was not wrong. You are such a light and so incredibly talented. So I'm really excited to share you with everybody today.
Thank you so much for having me. I can't lie. When I listened to your episode with Emma, I was brought to tears by the intro and the way that you were able to capture her essence and her power and all that she brings to the world just even before the episode began. So I'm really excited to dive in.
Oh, awesome. So a quick background story for the listeners. I ended up hiring Elizabeth myself to help me design a landing page or a landing website that would house all of my creative projects and just serve as like this one-stop shop, if you will, something that would grow with me over the years. Because here's the thing. I've told Elizabeth this. She knows this already. And probably some of you who have followed me for a while know this too. But websites, at least for some, they can be really daunting. And I don't even really mean that from like the creation aspect, because truthfully, I do enjoy the process of like designing my own site. It's gratifying to be able to put all of those pieces together, right? And have this like beautiful end result.
Yeah.
But the daunting part is the consistently adding changes and having the easy access, right? That truthfully, like rarely needed to be made in the first place. It's that like the comparison that comes along from designing your own site and putting that into your own hands, like looking to others to see what you should do, what colors look good, what fonts you want, the verbiage, yada, yada. And I would find myself like redoing things again and again because I just couldn't get freaking satisfied. And then it hit me. Like, I'm not spending the time to get to the root of what it is that like I myself want to exude. I'm not getting to the root of who it is that I myself want to share with the world. I was so caught up in trends and like popular offerings that I couldn't keep up, right? So when I found you and I read through Elizabeth's site and just like how she works with her clients, something in me clicked. Like, I knew deep down that it was worth investing in not only someone that could like bring the design to life and do all the fancy background coding, but someone whose mission was to get to the root of her clients. I'm talking to the listeners when I say this, but Elizabeth, her clients' essence, to like dig to find their true authentic nature and then to bring that to life. And I think that's what makes you, Elizabeth, stand apart from so many of the other designers out there.
It means a lot to hear you say that, honestly, because we did talk a little bit about the comparison trap and all of the different trends that we get so swept up into, especially in the world of social media. It can feel so impossible to find your own expression, to find a way to express your truth in a way that doesn't feel salesy. It doesn't feel heavy and sticky, and it just feels light and fun and welcoming. And I definitely have tried to navigate almost trying to keep my own website in a vacuum. Like, it's good. It works. It flows. Don't touch, stop touching it. Like, leave it and let it be, and just like let it marinate in the world. And if something comes up that actually needs to change, like it's not functioning properly, then we can reflect on how that change can be made. But consistently chasing the trend and seeing other designers, it's, especially being only a few years into owning my own business, it's been quite the journey to try to really hone in on what is my authentic expression, what do I have to share with the world. And I've been trying to curate this ability to tap into my clients, their energy, the essence that they want to share, because I like to say that your brand and your website is the digital embodiment of you. And so if you're going to try to be embodied by something, it can't just be static. It's not just words and photos and colors. It's so much more than that. It's more of a holistic, broad spectrum expression of who you are. And some people don't even think about that. They're like, oh no, I just need colors. I need fonts. And I'm like, no. You need to figure out who you are at the end of the day. What do you want to share of that with the world? And then how can we beautifully have that emerge through your brand assets, through your website, through your logo even, and all of that. So it's been fun.
That's so well said. And I think I was trying to come up with what it was really that made you so different. And it's funny because I just said like a million words to try to embody what you just, well, what you just said was that it's an energy. Like, we forget that it's not just about the fonts and the colors and like the photos. Like, you can feel someone's energy through their website. And some people might not really believe that, but until you come across a site that like stops you in your tracks, like that's what that is. That is like full embodiment and energy living on the internet, which I think is kind of hard to find. So again, I think that's what makes you stand apart. And one thing that I really loved that you had me do, which when you first said it, I was like, well, yeah, of course that makes sense, is how you had me create a Pinterest board. And I know that we all do this. And I mentioned earlier, it's like, it's a surefire way to get sucked into comparison and to choose images and whatnot that you think that you should be collecting. Mm-hmm. Right. But again, like working with you and the conversations that we had leading up to this homework, we'll call it, the language that you use really made me think about this Pinterest approach in a whole new way. It was like this like fresh, clean slate, almost like a challenge to go into it, right? Like 110% myself, like to only choose things that I truly gravitated towards. And listeners always hear me talking about the expand versus contract feeling within the body, right? And this is like my guide for most things. It made me expand. I knew it was a yes. If it made me even remotely contract or second guess, I just left it off the board. And something as simple as creating an inspiration board on Pinterest like really turned into this self-awareness and mindfulness practice. And I think that that's 100% due to how you approach your clients and the language that you give them before they do something that they might initially like roll their eyes at and be like, a Pinterest board. Like I have 12 I could show you, you know?
Yeah. I think creating a Pinterest board is such a unique experience because especially the generation that I grew up in, you know, everybody like you made your wedding Pinterest board. Yes. You made all of these little vibey Pinterest boards that really didn't serve a purpose other than basically creating a manifestation. It's the first baseline physical manifestation of insert dream here. Yeah. So what I like to invite people to do is don't just like slap photos and example logos into a Pinterest board. Make it an experience. Make it feel delicious and warm. I'm getting the chills even thinking about it. Like light some candles, drink some tea, or have a glass of wine, listen to your favorite music, and make it a vibe. All of the energy that you are feeling while you're creating this Pinterest board is being poured into that. And then that physical representation of what you see for your brand, that helps me so much because not only am I a visual learner, but I'm an energetic learner. So if I can feel the vibes and like really catch the energy of what you were putting in there, then that's what I can translate into your brand. And it's so much more effective when it's not just, oh, like, oh my gosh, my designer needs me to make a Pinterest board. Isn't that her job? I'm like, yes, that is my job. But my job isn't to try to read your mind. It's to try to like feel and put myself into your shoes and myself temporarily embody what you want to embody so that I can bring that to life.
Right. It is totally, it's like a 100%, 100% energy exchange, like 100% coming from you, 100% coming to me from me. And then we meet in the middle. It's so mm-hmm. true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I jumped the gun big time with things that I want to dive deeper, later in the show. But before I go any further there, I want to talk about your background a little bit. Give people a taste of just like, you know, where you're originally from, how you walked into creativity, how you landed into branding and web design, and maybe like just a little bit about where your life is now.
Sure. So I am born in, I was born and raised in Boston, Boston, Massachusetts, just outside of it in a little suburb. So I'm one of four kids. I'm the youngest. So my oldest sister, Emma, is the one that you are friends mm-hmm. with and that she's been on the podcast for those who don't know. I found art at a very young age. Like I was always drawn to painting and creating with my hands and building things and sculpting and playing outside and drawing what I saw. Like I would be known to skip home from school. So I was a walker. I would walk to and from mm-hmm. school, but I would skip home. I would grab my colored pencils. I would grab my notebook. I would climb a tree and I would just draw for hours because what else are you to do when you're seven, right? You don't have much else. So I would just draw and I would create and I would use the world around me as my muse. I actually have the word muse tattooed on my hand because it's my ever-present reminder that the world and myself is my inspiration for creating. So I really have worked on channeling that throughout my life. But as I'm sure you probably know, the creative passion is now turned into this whole, you need to monetize it. So over time, it's like, is it my passion or is it my job? Or like, where is the line? And in high school, I really, really wanted to pursue art as a career. But unfortunately, all of the faculty at my school, they were very, very hard set against that. They were like, you know what? Like, we love that. That's super cute, but it's just not a viable career. So in my career planning class, I take the aptitude test. I find out what I'm quote unquote good at, and I'm good at working with kids. I'm good at interacting and teaching and expressing. And so I became a teacher. Teaching doesn't go out of style, right? So I got my degree in elementary and special education from the University of Delaware. And that was a fantastic, beautiful experience that I learned so much. I grew so much and I found so much love and passion with working with children. And after that, the pandemic hit. So basically I had to take my passion for teaching and all of those things and shove it into this small in-home experience where I was very lucky to work with three beautiful families, six kids across a few different grades. And I taught them in their homes for a year.
Wow.
And this is where I found my creative passion came back. That's when I began Rising Rose, which is my brand. And that's how I create. And that's how I share. That at the time was just a passion project while I was teaching. But with my teaching career, I was encouraging my children, my students to tap into their own creative expression and create art that made them feel good. And we would start the day off by a creative expression activity just to like jump into the day. Like, why do we need to just dive right into a morning meeting and going over the lessons and let's just color for a little bit. Let's just draw. Let's create something that makes you feel good. Yeah. And one of my students, she said to me when we were doing like a very rudimentary manifestation lesson, we were talking about, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's a pretty simple question. My students would say like, I want to be in marketing or I want to be a doctor because their parents do those things. And then I was like, okay, let's really get to the bottom of that. Do you want to do that because you've seen that it's safe to do that? Or do you want to do that because that's what lights you up?
Wow.
And one of my students, she was four and she was like, well, my mommy's in marketing. So I feel like I should be in marketing, but I would love to be an artist. I'm getting chills again. In this moment, I sat all my kids down and I was like, listen here, this is the moment where you get to decide the path of your life. You are so full of opportunity. The world is your oyster and it actually is. So don't let people tell you that you need to be a teacher or a doctor or a lawyer or a dentist. If you want to be an artist, be an artist. And so I would bring them in my art and I would show them my art and I would show them the children's book that I was writing and all of those things. And I began to open their eyes to the world of possibilities that is actually available to them without saying, you know, that's a cute, fun little passion dream, but it's not realistic. And that's what the education system really, it doesn't actually leave space for that. So cut to, I left the education world to pursue full-time art because I was like, this is what I'm preaching and I'm not actually fully diving in and fully following it. So here I am. I began my own graphic and web design company, which I love. But again, it's the same monetizing my passions. Where do I fall? Like, how can I just freely create for myself when it's completely my job now? Mm. So that's a really difficult path to navigate sometimes because I see all of these other girls and, you know, people diving into the graphic design world and seeing booming success and they're making six figures in their first year and all of these things. And I'm like, Jesus, like, it just seems, it seems like a lot. And it doesn't seem like there's so much passion involved. It's like, how many Instagram posts did you plan for the month? How are you marketing? What are your funnels? What are your sales? What are your packages? Tell everybody your prices right off the bat so that you don't lose the sale. It's like, what about the art though? What about the creating? What about the importance of expression? So it's been a very touch and go relationship. Sometimes I'm like, I don't even want to do this anymore because it feels so salesy. And that's why I told you, I wrote a children's book. I'm working on illustrating it and getting that published and kind of trying to merge my two worlds back together and create a new, pretty much unknown career of maybe being able to coach children virtually or work with families and help them with artistic expression and emotional processing and all the things that go into humaning that aren't just, you know, math, science, English, history, etc. So
yeah, I love that so much. No, it was so beautiful. And one thing that I wanted that I was noticing that came up for me is when you were talking about, you know, that like aha moment with the child whose mom was in marketing and she was like, I think that's what I'm supposed to do. I think what you were saying about art and like it being cute and not a viable career and all this stuff is that there are adults listening to this that are probably getting the same messaging still like in their 20s and their 30s. And I think that's such an important reminder of just like, hey, like if that's you, you can start at any time. Like this career is actually not a cute one. We're going to talk about it. Like being a freelance artist and owning your own business is, I've never owned like my own marketing firm or whatever, but I just want to say that there is a difference. I'm wise enough to know that there's a difference between a creative entrepreneur, like someone who is like showcasing their art and that is what they're living off of, for someone who is building a marketing firm. One is not better than the other. They are different energy wise. You are literally saying, here's my soul. I'm going to like monetize this. Please don't crush me. It is so vulnerable.
And
that's such a beautiful thing to learn early on. I'm so grateful to have had parents that were like so nurturing around my art and creativity. So I fortunately never grew up thinking that that was like a small thing, but I think it's such an important thing to like implement into young people's minds of like, this can be something and it's worth being celebrated. And the monetization part is really hard. I agree. It's very sticky to, you just want to wake up and you want to like share what you love and not worry about getting paid for it, but you have to pay the bills and it's just really shitty. And
it is.
You don't have a marketing brain like me. It's like, it's so that actually leads me to my next point. Like being an entrepreneur, it takes grit. So I would love to know, and I think it'll be really fun to hear your perspective too, because you're in year three and I think that's a really sweet spot. Like you're not a veteran, but like you haven't been doing this for a decade where you're like bitter and a little worn out, you know? So what are some of the areas with growing within your business, that you feel like you've had to learn the hard way? Maybe like if you look back now, you're like, damn, I could have done that differently and it would have been a little bit smoother.
Yeah, I have definitely learned a lot the hard way. I'm a manifesting generator in human design. So I didn't really know that when I started my business. So I kind of just saw this graphic and web design little safe box that I saw people doing on Instagram. And I was like, that's my box. I'm moving in. Like, that's my everything. That's who I am now. And then I was like, wait, but what about the fact that I love photography and I also love painting and I also love writing and I also love poetry? Like, I was just like, where did all of those things go? And so over time, I've had to really deeply lean into being a manifesting generator and taking on a bunch of different roles and a bunch of different ways to express my energy. Because if I sit and I do the same task, people talk about, like, you know, time blocking and things like that. I can't do it because I can't just, like, blow out a task all day long. I'll just drive myself insane. So I have to remind myself, like, take a break. Draw a little doodle figure, like, just turn your brain off of creating for money mode and just create for Elizabeth mode. Just create for fun and see where that takes you. So I would definitely, if anybody is listening to this and you're looking to get into creative entrepreneurship and start your own business, leave space to just to create. So I know that we need to pay the bills and it's exhausting sometimes to think about how many sales we need to make to make the income that we desire. And sure, we want to hit a six-figure year, for sure. Everybody does. But if that's at the expense of your mental health, of your creative expression, of the actual, like, essence of who you are, I felt myself getting very, very dimmed when I was taking on projects that didn't really feel aligned with me just for the sake of chasing a check or forcing myself to finish things out when I didn't actually take time to go on a walk or meditate, or I worked through lunch or things like that. So taking those times, even if it's 10 minutes, just reading a book and eating lunch in the middle of the day, it doesn't matter. That 10 minutes takes you away and it takes you and it puts you back into yourself, into your body, into your heart space. And you can't create from an empty space. So I used to say to my students, are you giving from a full bucket? Like, are you taking from other people's buckets and you have an empty bucket and you're just, like, grasping at straws to try to give more? Or are you filling yours and other people's buckets from, like, a full loving place? And then everyone's buckets are full. Everybody feels good. Like, I have delivered brand projects and websites where I was just, like, dragging myself every step of the way, just feeling so sticky and resistant. And you can see it in the product. And my clients would be like, well, this is cool, but I have 465 revisions. And I'm like, yeah, I figured that would happen because I wasn't in it. I was just pushing myself and burning myself out. And it's not sustainable. It's not worth the money. It's not worth selling my soul on Instagram. It's not worth it. So yeah.
I think that's so important too, to get to a place where you can feel confident enough to almost, like, vet out your clients and be okay with saying no, like you said, and not just chasing the check, because it really does come back to haunt you. Like, I think it's so different when, for me with photography, for example, I've had clients where I know I'm like, I shouldn't take this. The energy is not lined up. And then it ends up being one of the most daunting, shoots. They're unsatisfied. They have so many edit revisions, which never happens. And I'm just like, mother, it makes me so angry, but, like, at myself. I have no one to blame but myself because the writing was on the wall, right? But then you have a client who the energy is so aligned and you're so in tune with them that when they come back with a revision, you're like, oh, I can totally see where you're coming from. It's just, you're so much more open to receiving. So yeah, I mean, I could not agree more. I could have saved myself so many headaches. I'm like, yeah, you do get the money. So that is, like, somewhat victorious and feels good. But like you said, it's when the energy is that sour, it really just does not even out.
Yeah. I think that we also don't really leave space for believing that those soulmate clients will come, because we think we need to just continue to sell, sell, sell. And anybody that comes our direction, oh, cool. Yeah. Well, I can do that.
Yeah.
But does it actually feel aligned? And I can tell who is a soulmate client. Like, you have been such a beautiful client to work with, because when shit hits the fan and I'm not feeling like I can create and I can pour that beautiful, pure creative energy into a given day or a section of a project, I just, I can't do it. And so I won't for a few hours. And that might push things back or delay things like a day or two. And so if I always do express my gratitude for people's patience along a project, but you've been like, no, like you don't need to, need to thank me for my patience. Like you are doing your thing, you know, like rock out, do what you need to do. And that's what gives me the space as a creator to say, wow, like I'm safe to care for myself and I'm safe to care for their project. And when those both are prioritized, then things can keep rolling. But if I'm only putting the project above like my physical health or my mental health or any of those things, then the project will fall flat no matter how hard I try.
Yeah. Well, like you said, it all shows up in energy form. Like I'd be able to tell, you'd be able to tell like that. Yeah. I mean, and it does help that we're not on like a tight deadline, you know? So
that's true.
But I just totally get it. And I would never want anyone to feel burdened down by something that like I'm asking them to do, whether it's a monetary exchange or not. That's just not, that's not life-giving. That doesn't feel good. You want people to like come from a place, like you said, where their bucket is full. So thank you for saying that. But so on that note, personally, I think self-care and reflection is even more crucial when you work for yourself. No doubt it's important regardless, but you know, I mean, we're all human beings who need that TLC. But when you own your own business, you touched on this, it's kind of a lot of pressure, A, and you're essentially embodying like 10 professional roles as one person.
Yep.
And that can get so taxing both emotionally and physically. So let's talk about your routines and rhythms that you found that serve you within working for yourself, especially in such a creative role. What are some ways that you really take care?
Yeah, taking care of myself has definitely become a much larger time span of my day. So I no longer really try to adhere to an 8 to 5 or a 9 to 5. And whoever made up those numbers, I have a bone to pick with you.
Same.
but so I'll find myself working like 10 to sometimes like 10 to 6 or 10 to 4 or, you know, kind of just doing what I need to do. My optimal day is waking up, rolling out of bed, like not having so much pressure on my shoulders, hopefully going to a hot yoga class, drinking some warm water with lemon, maybe journaling a little bit, getting in some, like if it's not yoga, hopefully going for a walk or meditating for a short bit. And it doesn't need to be anything crazy, but just give me my energy before I give someone else my energy. Mm-hmm. And there were so many months, honestly, on end that I didn't give a drop of energy to myself and I gave it to everyone else. And that was when my business was struggling. I was mentally and physically struggling. It was just not good, not healthy. And like I said before, another thing that really helps me, and I've only started to do this a lot more recently, it's those little tiny creative breaks. Like I caught myself doodling just a bunch of little blobby, like people figures last week. And I ended up using that as my new logo for the brand that I'm beginning to work with children and to provide coaching and like these resources and tools for parents. And that's where that's the little blob person. Like, and it was so cute. It was so fun while I was doing it. And I was like,
I love this.
What am I going to do with this though? Yeah. And then last week I was like, why don't I use this? I created it in such pure, like fun energy. And so allowing yourself the space to just really create, you never know where it's going to take you. Right. So I definitely encourage people to just drop in, drop the expectations, pick up a pencil or a paintbrush and just let it fly, even for 15 minutes, and your whole entire day will be shifted.
Oh, that's such good advice. It's so true. And I love that story of like, oh shit, I was just playing around and now I have like this little doodle that like needs to come with me.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
So I want to say this next part loudly because I know that the internet is mainly used as a place to share like what's good and what's working. And I also know that you're a human with a soul and a beating heart. So you have bad days. And I imagine days where you've completely just overworked yourself. But for the sake of this next question, I want to talk about your idea of wealth and what that looks like to you in an area, in an era of like that hustle culture and like girl boss. I will say that I'm bringing this up because you posted, I think it was on your personal account, something on this about like what wealth meant to you. And I thought it was so beautiful and so important coming from somebody who is supporting themselves through their art to hear this point of view. And so it doesn't have to be exactly what you posted, but yeah, if you just want to like surmise and share with us, like what the word wealth really means to you in your life as it is now.
Yeah. The word wealth has definitely taken on a ton of different meanings over the course of my teaching career and then my art career, because when you're a teacher specifically, you kind of know you're never really going to be wealthy. Mm-hmm. There's no money really, especially if you're working for a public school. And I don't want to say that as a hard and fast rule, but you're probably not going to be, you know, making absolute bank when you're teaching. So right. I never had that goal, but I was like, I just want to support myself. I don't want to have to worry about money, and I don't want it to have to be a stress on my shoulders. Mm-hmm. When I decided to quit teaching and pursue my art career, I had a little nest egg, but I was like, honestly, I'm just going to send it. I was like, I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't know how I'm going to make money. I don't know what is next, but I'm just going to jump off the cliff and I'm just going to go for it. And I really had to change my idea of what wealth looked like, because the money wasn't pouring in. Mm-hmm. In fact, there were some months that I was really scared I couldn't pay my rent. And I had to adjust my wealth to saying like, okay, if I don't have dollars, what do I have? Mm-hmm. I have food in my belly. I have clothes that fit me and feel good and make me look good. You know, I have so many physical, tangible items. I have books, I have paints, I have like tchotchkes, like little objects. I have pictures all over my walls. I have plants. I have a loving boyfriend. I have a family that's healthy. I have a dog that loves me. I have all of these other things. I have the beach. Like, I live close to the beach. I have so many beautiful things that if money wasn't an object, I would be the wealthiest person in the world. And that I really had to take time, take intentional time. And sometimes I still have those days where I'm like, oh my God, the walls are caving in. Like, what am I going to do? But when I drop into that notion that my wealth surrounds me, I see it and I feel it, and the money doesn't even matter to me. And I'm like, I could make $0 this month and I could still feel rich if I just open my eyes and take a look at what surrounds me. So I definitely recommend for people who aren't making six figures, right, in their first year, or aren't even making one figure, like literally people who are making $0, you don't have to have money to feel or to be or to exude that abundant energy that we desire. Wealth for me looks like having peace in my days, having flow states where I can just kind of choose how my day unfolds. So owning my own business, like, that's the only way that I can do that. I can't get another 9-to-5 job working for somebody and still have that like ease and flow and control and like fully just following my heart. I just want to be able to control how I live and like find peace and joy in my days. Like, that's straight up, that's where the list ends. And if money is a factor in that, and if I have the money to play around and to get more of those physical objects that hopefully bring more peace and more joy, or get those experiences like traveling and things like that, then that's great. But I have everything that I need right now. And that kind of helps me drop into the safety and stability that I'm really seeking with that money. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just like open your eyes, honestly, and you'll find the wealth is there.
I love that. And that really makes me want to like sit down. I'm such a list person, but it really makes me want to like sit down with some paper and tangibly write it down and have that as like a touch point. Because like I was saying, like, we all have days where we wake up where we're like, life sucks. Even when you have everything that you want, it's really hard to be alive. And again, I'm grateful for social media, but I do attribute a lot of that lack mentality being because of the access that we have to so many other people's lives. And so I think when we hang up, I think that's immediately what I'm going to do, is make my own list to have this touch point of something to come back to and be like, no, this is it. Like, this is what grounds me. This is such a rich life. I couldn't have like dreamed of a life like this. We forget. It's so easy to forget.
Yeah. I think that what's also important to consider when it's time to make those manifestation lists, or, you know, you're scripting or things like that. I used to catch myself writing things that I thought I would want. Like, I wanted a brand new white Range Rover when I just started my business. I was like, yep, that's my goal. And then I'm like, why would I need that though? Like, that's not a need of mine. That's a very externally placed material want that I saw on Instagram, or being that girl that only wears all like matching aloe yoga sets. I wrote that down one time. And then I looked back a couple weeks later and I was like, am I serious? Like, did I write that down? Like, I don't need those things to be happy, to be me. All I need is myself and the good feelings inside of me. So like whatever happens to be there that's making me joyful in the moment, then that's what I want. And so focusing on manifesting those feelings, all of the material objects and all of the experiences that are going to create those feelings, those will come.
I love that. I love that differentiation. Again, like coming back to like it being an energy and not like this material thing. And look, hey, I'll say for me and Elizabeth both that we're not saying that luxurious items are bad and like that shouldn't be on your list. But I think what she's trying to say and what I've definitely done before is like, yeah, you make this list and you're like, who is this list for? Like when you sit down to revisit it, you're like, I don't actually want that thing. And so sometimes for me, like with manifestation lists that I've done so many in the past, I actually think it's really healthy to go and just like empty your brain. Don't judge what comes out. Take a beat, come back. I feel like that's how you fucking know what is real and what is true to you, is to be able to revisit that and be like, that's kind of embarrassing that I wrote that. Or like, it would be like me writing down that I want like a Coach handbag. I have never once in my life had the desire for like a luxurious handbag. It's just not my jam. Same with like shoes. I don't care. But like a really comfy, oversized cashmere sweater, I would keep that on my list because that would bring this energy of like, ooh, I feel safe. I feel warm. I feel cozy. So yeah, that is such sound advice. I love that so much, to pay attention to that energy and not so much like what it looks like on paper or what you might look like in that white Range Rover. Like, how does it make you feel? Yeah. And that's something that I really admire about you, you know, both what you project onto the outside world and how you show up online, is that you are so good at sharing so many simple joys. It's like this breath of fresh air. I get that with your sister too. You and your sister are so similar in so many ways, which is like the biggest compliment. I mean it in the biggest compliment, but you have such a way of like reminding me to slow down. And I think the internet makes you feel like you need to speed up and do more. I love coming across just like your stories or like even just like the little posts that you do, because they're so much around the simple joys and that you can work really hard and still have a life filled with like sun on your skin and iced coffee and matcha and time to play with your dog and go for a bike ride. It's not like this unattainable vision that you put out. It's really wholesome and nourishing and completely accessible. And I have to imagine, like we talked about, like you worked really hard for that balance.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't come easily. And if you're stuck in that mindset of I need to chase and you're always seeking, like I could work myself to the bone and I'm sure I could make way over six figures and I could get the Range Rover and I could get the yoga sets and I could go on luxurious vacations. And that would probably be super fun, not gonna lie. But if I didn't have the ability to just step outside with no stress on my shoulders and no expectations on me and like lay on the hammock and read a like spicy novel and snuggle with my dog, like those are the things that light me up in ways that schlepping a suitcase across Europe and like doing all these dramatic things and these dramatic vacations, like those would light me up in a different way. But that safety and that stability and that warmth, like that's accessible at any moment and it's free for the most
part. Totally. Oh my God. I've been thinking so much, and this relates back to kind of what you were talking about earlier, but I've been thinking so much about those free nuggets. Like the other day, I think I even made a post about, I was like, I just want to write this down, where I was like, the sun is free, like touching your skin is free, like all these things. I was like, holy shit, it's like right there. We can literally access all of those things that make us like a filled up human like that.
It doesn't take anything more than just like tapping into the fact that we like touch your body. You have a physical body that you get to just like play around with and like live this life and do whatever you want. Think about what people did before there was technology and hustle culture and Range Rovers, like all of these things that we think we need. It's like having a piece of fresh fruit, sitting on the beach, letting the sun touch your skin and just listening to the waves.
Oh my God, that gave me chills.
That's the experiences that I want to fill my life with that are pretty much, except for the price of the fruit, it's free.
Yeah, so, totally. Right? And I think it's really easy. Like I'll be totally transparent and say, while we're recording this, like I'm in a season, like I'm in a rut season. And I mean, it's really frustrating because I don't know why, like I'm growing the baby I've been asking for forever. I'm healthy. My husband's healthy. Like we have all of these amazing things, right? We have the wealth, but I am in this place of like stagnant melancholy. Right. Yeah. And so I think it's also really important to connect the fact that like, we know all of these things. We know that like the sun is free and we can sit outside and eat it or eat fruit and feel all these things. But if you don't have that like mind body connection synced up, it can feel like there might be people listening to us rolling their eyes and being like, whatever. Like, I just, that's not for me. I can't get there. It's one of those things where it's like, you really do have to, I'm going to take my own advice, but like, you really have to like step the fuck outside and actually feel the sun. You can talk about it till you're blue in the face, but until you do it, you're not going to be like, oh, that felt really good. I'm going to go do that again tomorrow.
Yes. And you actually posted about that day that you were feeling just like, bleh, just like so not in it. And then you went swimming and everything changed. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what I was doing that day, but I was like, why is she speaking to me right now? And on days like that, I have to just physically, it's almost like I'm not in my body. I'm like physically pick myself up, bring myself to somewhere that I know. And for me, it's the beach. It's the ocean without a doubt. Bring myself there and just like wait for the magic to happen. You know, like it doesn't take anything more than just going where you know it's going to make you happy. Mm-hmm. And when I moved down to Florida, I didn't know why I needed to be here. I just packed up my Corolla and I drove down from Boston and I never looked back. Mm-hmm. Like I was just like, I just want to go to where the sun is and the palm trees. I just want to see palm trees sway on a day-to-day basis. And I didn't really ever give myself the ability of saying like, why don't you just live there? You don't even have to go and book a vacation and find a hotel room. Like people make it so much more complicated than it needs to be. If you want to go somewhere and you want to experience that and you want to experience a lot more of it, you can move there or you can create those experiences for yourself in a way that's sustainable. And it gives you access to the things that already light you up without having to try.
I almost like that visual actually, if you're like, I had to physically, cause you're right. That is such a good description. Like you feel like you were out of your body where you're like, there's no fucking way I could get myself to the beach right now. You literally jump out and like, it's almost like a puppet. Like you're like, no, let me grab these strings. I'm going to take you and I'm going to drop you right here. That's so true. I love that. Yeah. Okay. So I want to segue back into the business aspect a little bit here. Especially when it comes to clients, I was really curious about this. It was like a little light bulb that came to me, but when you get clients who hire you to either like create their brand or their web design, and you start to take notice that they are consciously or like subconsciously stuck in this comparison trap, as in they're giving you material that they'd like to use for their site, and you're like, that looks really familiar. Like, I know the brand, I know the brand that you're looking at to create yours. How do you navigate this? Because I have to imagine it's like it needs to be such a gentle approach, because you don't want to like call somebody out and be like, we can't do that because that's technically not like your design, you know? So I'm wondering, you know, as the designer, as whose business is represented on this website, how do you navigate not duplicating someone else's brand and like breaking that to your client?
I definitely have seen that quite a bit. And it kind of depends. Like when I first began my entrepreneurship journey, I was pretty much working for someone else. Like I was contracted with them every month. So I was their product photographer. I was their social media manager. I was kind of just like their everything. Mm-hmm. And they paid me for it, you know, on a monthly basis. So for lack of a better term, I was like, I kind of don't really feel like I have a lot of independence here. I'm just like doing what you need me to do and then just like getting paid and moving on with my life. And they had me do a post that was just, it made me want to jump out of my body. It was that when that whole gorgeous, gorgeous girls trend was going around and it was like pops of bright pink and blue and yellow and rainbows and stars. And like, it was like a unicorn threw up on this post and it said, gorgeous, gorgeous girls, like, you know, whatever with the brand. And I was like, this is so deeply out of integrity with who I am and what I have to offer. And within a month, I no longer worked with them. Like it just, I was like, I can't continue to mute myself and sacrifice myself. And so now when clients bring to me a vision board or something like that, that's very deeply emulating another brand or things like that, I often will ask them, do you have any expanders or people that you look up to for their aesthetics and things like that, so that I can, you know, kind of march to a similar beat with our drum here, but not marching to the beat of their drum. They kind of like catch the hint. I'm like, I promise you it will be beautiful and it will embody everything that you want it to, but we can let them have their thing and you'll have your own thing, and it'll be timeless and it'll be beautiful and it will be yours. And a lot of times when you say that to someone where you're like, you can have theirs, you can, I'll do it for you. You can have it. It's right there. You want it? Or do you want your thing? And they're like, wait, I do want my own thing. And I'm like, yeah, it's not like theirs is nice and it's beautiful and it's like a shiny hanging carrot, but it's like yours could be everything that you want it to be if you just release what they have and think, what actually, like, what makes me different? And I struggle with that sometimes too. Like, what am I gonna, if I'm gonna post, you know, so many graphic designers are posting like favorite fonts of the week or whatever. And I've done it. Like I've posted that. But when I'm posting it, I'm like, for number one, for who? Number two, why? And number three, like, is this what sets me apart? Do people find me and they're like, wow, I love her fonts of the week. You know, I want to hire her. I'm like, no one does that. So I stop posting things that are very simple like that, because I'm like, it just doesn't really feel like me. And I could be posting all of these very similar things to other people, or my clients could have me doing that same thing, but there are enough people posting those things. There are quite enough, more than enough. There's not enough people just doing them. And so I'm on that train now.
Yeah, totally. And it's, I mean, you can tell. And I think that's what's so cool, is that you are so much more than a graphic designer, a web designer, a brand designer, and you really let that seep through. Like, you're a deep vessel. You're a deep person, and you're also, you have like such a light, playful energy. And I think what we could all benefit from is tapping into what makes us unique, how our friends and loved ones would describe us, and then infusing that into how we show up. You know, it's like so stale when you're like, oh, so-and-so did this, I'm going to try that. And you don't, that's fine. But when you don't give it your own energetic flair, your own essence, it just drops. You feel it. No one can lie to me and say that you have not posted something before where you're like, why the fuck did I do that? It's just like sitting in the ethers and it's so awkward. Like, that's when you just end up deleting it an hour later. So guilty over here. Can't raise my hand high enough. And then there's those posts where it's like, you do something with your energy behind it. And even if it gets like 5 likes, you're like, oh, I don't care. That's staying put. Yeah. Felt cute. Will not delete later. Like, this is staying. This is a part of who I am, and I'm proud of it.
Yeah. I think another way to kind of drop in and see, well, how is this feeling for me? Some people, you know, obviously with the way that you feel your intuition come through, it can feel confusing. Like, is my gut telling me to do this? Am I feeling nervous because it's like exciting and like I should do it? Or am I feeling nervous because this is like completely not what I should be doing? I work with an energy healer who, she gave me a really beautiful experience for me to use when I'm trying to do things in my business and post something or share something. And she was like, really just, she gave me this example of when I was 8 years old and me and my sister were playing on a trampoline. And she's like, imagine that you are that 8-year-old girl, you're sitting on the trampoline and you have a pile of gold coins sitting in between your legs. You're just like surrounding this gold and you're like, this is my gold. I'm so abundant. I'm so wealthy. Like, this is all of my creative passion that I have. And she's like, would she do that thing that you just did? Or would she be proud of you and like excited that you just did that? Or would she be like, come on, like, that's not really what you wanted to do. Like, you could do this way more beautiful, way more authentic expression of that same type of thing. And so I started to tap in and be like, hey, inner child, what do you think about this, you know, like font of the week or whatever? And she's like, honestly, skip it. Just post something else. Like, post a beautiful quote or a photo of yourself. Like, I don't post a lot of photos of myself on my business page. And I hadn't for a while because I was like, you know, who cares? Number one, like, people want to see my graphic design, but then I'm like, people want to work with me because it's me, not because I can design things. So that was just a huge shift of like, it doesn't feel comfortable for me to just always post my work, and starting to post pictures of myself and say like, hey, I like long walks on the beach and snuggling my dog too. Like, I'm also a person. So like, we should hang out over Zoom and I can build your brand.
Yeah, totally. No, it just like coming from that like relaxed approach. It doesn't have to be so stifling and like proper and what everybody else is telling you to do. I know. And it's really, but I do understand like the fear behind it too. It takes risk, right? To be yourself. Like the people who are doing that, they stand out and we admire them so much because we're like, mm-hmm. oh my God, like you can't take your eyes off of those people, mm-hmm. you know? And the people who are doing, I don't know, we could talk about this forever. I could go in like 3,000 loops around it, but I just do think it makes me sad that it's so important to talk about, to have these conversations. Because it has taken up so much of our life and our existence and our authenticity, honestly. Like, we've never before had to work so hard to remember who it is that we are. And that bums me out a lot, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot. I will say it's so much unlearning layers and layers and layers of masks that I've put on. Mm-hmm. Like, through so many stages of my life, and I'm only in my mid-20s. So I can't even imagine if I had, like, you know, spiritually awoken to all of these things way later in life. Like, I think about who I was when I was in high school or when I was a sorority girl in college and all these things. And I'm like, oh, geez. And then I got to unlearn all of those things that I did at that time or the goals that I set for myself in those spaces mm-hmm. and think, I really want to be somebody that not only my inner child is proud of, but that my future children are proud of and that they can look up to. And they're like, damn, like, that's my mom. Like, she's doing it. Like, she's so powerful and she stands in it and she just like exudes all of this light and she's changing the world. And when I don't feel like I'm changing the world or that like my future baby would be proud of me or that my inner baby is proud of me, I'm like, I'm not doing it. I'm sorry. Don't care how much I'm going to make from it. I don't care what is on the other side. I'm not doing it.
Oh my God, you're going to make a pregnant woman cry, getting all the feels. I'm like, I want that for my baby too, especially with her, you know, coming out, identifying as a female until further notice, you know, it's just mm-hmm. like one of those things where you're like, oh, I refuse. I want the lineage of that shit to stop right now.
Yeah. Like stop doubting ourselves, stop questioning, stop wondering
just
about if we're going to be accepted. Just like,
yes, people take up space, Mm-hmm. Yes. And I mean, you know, as we wrap up, I think that's one of the other reasons that I really wanted you to come on here, because I think there are so many important people who give themselves as a career, who help with this well-rounded humanness, right? And to help people stay rooted to their core. There are energy healers, there are therapists, there are, you know, painters, you know, so we could go on and on and on. But I do want to attribute that, I really do think that you yourself, you are so special, but like also the line of work that you're in, you could say, oh, I'm a web and brand designer. And people are like, oh, cool. But like, that's a very important job in this day and age with the saturation and with how empty people feel. I think you have such a way and such a gift to be able to give people permission to be reminded about what that looks like and what that can feel like, most importantly. Like, I mean it. It has been healing working with you. Like, I can sit back and be like, oh my God, that's a reflection of me. Nobody else. Like, we did this together. And I know I keep giving some changes, but like, we're so close. And it's so fun to be able to like have a place that I'm so proud of and like don't want to touch for years. And I just think that's really special. And that's not nothing.
Yeah, I think people just, they think that it's very simple. Like, they think they could just log on to Canva and make a simple logo, or they could make a simple website. And I'm not saying they couldn't. They totally could. And it would check the boxes and their business would continue to run and the world wouldn't, you know, catch on fire. Mm-hmm. But is it going to make them feel like, oh, like, yes, like that's my brand. Like, I'm so excited. I want to shout it from the rooftops. This is my business. This is my passion. This is everything to me. And I know how sacred it is to run your own business and to pour everything that you have into that business. So I know how much trust you need to place in someone else to hold mm-hmm. your dreams in this like beautiful little safe space that they're going to be nurtured and they're going to grow into what they need to be. And I'm so proud and so lucky and grateful to be that person for the right people, you know? Mm-hmm. And if people think that they can just build their own logo and build their own website and they're happy with that, then I am not for you. But if you want somebody to help to water and nurture those dreams of yours and really make your dreams a reality, then I'm the person that you need to work with, because I not only help you physically do that, but I can help you see the highest trajectory of your potential that you mm-hmm. might not have ever even considered.
It's so true and so beautifully said. One last question before we wrap up this episode. Can you tell us three things that are lighting you up right now?
Three things that are lighting me up right now. I have gotten back into painting, so I'm super excited about that.
What kind of painting do you do? Like, what do you work with?
Hold on. I'm going to
grab. Oh, you going to show me?
I painted this the other day. I like took myself on, or I brought myself a little on a little date.
Oh my God, I feel mean because you guys can't see it. It's so beautiful. Oh my God, those colors.
Yeah, so I started experimenting with colors again. You know, I mean, I resonated with you so deeply because you're like, I'm a neutral girl. Like, I like the earth tones and I love me a good earth tone palette. And so painting with color was a little bit out of comfort zone for me. Yeah, so I was like, okay, this is kind of uncomfortable, but I really leaned in and I was like, painting the female body to me just always feels really great. Because I love being a woman and I love women in general. I think we're just fucking stunning and people forget. But number two, I've also really loved getting back into photography and photographing myself as well, like being my own muse, like I said, and photographing the world around me and being able to share that without a goal of this needs to sell, or I want people to have this as a print or whatever it might be. So again, just tapping into that free creativity. And another thing that's lighting me up is reading like novels that aren't going to get me somewhere. It's not going to give me a new skill. It's not going to help me cope. It's not going to help me heal. It's just going to give me some like spicy sex scenes and like a little bit of like fluttering in my heart. And I can drink my coffee and read a book on a hammock and feel so good about my life and about myself. So yeah,
I love it. I can relate to that so much. It's like a mini vacation from your life. Not that like you necessarily want to escape your life, but you know what I mean? It's like,
I know exactly what you mean.
30 minute like break into someone else's story. Oh, I could not agree more.
I love it.
I'm going to cheat because I have one more question actually that I just thought of. I'm really curious. It came to me when you said that you're getting back into like self-portraiture, which is such healing work. Oh my God, for anybody who is self-conscious or anybody who has body issues, that is a healing nugget right there, is to get a camera out and photograph yourself. So on that note, my question is, and we've been talking a lot about social media and showing up authentically, what's your take on filters?
Like story filters, like when you're actively filming? I have a bone to pick with some of the filters that are like really, really altering, because I think that the coming generation and even the generation like immediately below me, they're like, I wish I looked like that. And I will say that when filters like first emerged into the space, I was like, oh my God, wow, I look hell snatched. Yeah. I was like, I look so good. I am never not using these. And then there came a time right when I moved down to Florida and I started working with like self-portraits and things like that with my real, you know, big girl camera. I was like, well, there's no filters on these. And I really just got to kind of work with what I got. I used to Facetune my face. Like in high school, I would Facetune my body and I would just like warp myself to be this really just watered down version of who I was and what I thought that I wanted to look like or what I thought people wanted me to look like. And then when I really started to practice with taking portraits of not just like even my face, but my body, like my physical, like naked body, covering up the important bits, obviously, but saying like, wow, like that's my physical vessel. And like, I have this flesh vehicle for my life, like for my whole life. So I get tattoos to decorate her. I photograph her. I make her a work of art and I embody that work of art. So I definitely think that photography is a beautiful thing. I think that filters are, sometimes they're fun. Like, I'm not going to lie. I will slap a filter on here and there, but I think that being able to embrace your natural beauty and the body that you were given is such a beautiful gift that is forgotten. And it can be so healing to just like really admire yourself through a lens, because I don't think people like take pictures of, I mean, I don't think people take pictures of me nearly enough. Nobody takes pictures of me. So I'm like, if I want to see a beautiful picture of myself, I'm going to take it myself. And I'm going to stare at it for hours if I need to and be like, that's me. Like, this is who I always wanted to be when I was a little girl. And now I'm her. And if I was just going to continue to waste time being like, oh, like I wish those curves were small. Like, I don't have
totally
time.
Also, yeah, that's such a good point. And like the photos that I had taken for, my website that you're helping me with.
So
what
stunning.
Well, what was so cool. Thank you. I hate being in front of the camera. I'm my worst critic. Like I am someone who, I mean, I'll just be so transparent. I don't care sharing this. Like I am very much in filter trap of like, I can't show up just as I am. Like what? Ew. Gross. It's so mean. I work on it in therapy all the time. And she's like, it's a slow burn. You don't have to do it right away, but just like,
yeah,
little by little try, you know, but having my best friend, the woman who took the photos is like my soul family, and seeing what she saw, like having her take pictures of me through her eyes, through like her creative energy. I was like, oh my God, that's what I look like. I, you know what I mean? Like I can vibe like that.
Yeah.
It's so special to a do it yourself coming from an energy of like, I'm not going to criticize myself. I'm going to celebrate myself. And also getting a picture taken by someone who loves you and really sees you is also so magical and so, so healing and important, I think.
You could definitely see that. And when you sent me those photos, my jaw hit the ground. I was like, she is the most divine embodiment of a soon-to-be mother. Like just the white dress, the white background, you were just like, it just looked like you were very comfortable in your own skin. And you were like, this is me, like this is who I am. I'm proud to be myself. And it was inspiring for me even. So I hope that other people see those photos and they're like, yeah, I'm like, she's so beautiful. I feel beautiful looking at them.
I love hearing that. Well, this makes me just want to like get on Instagram and be like, fuck it. Delete all the filters. Like, who cares? Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for sharing yourself with me, with us, and just being here and for being such a light. I can't wait for people to seek you out and learn more about you as a human and to digest all of your creative work. It truly is so beautiful and just such a reflection of who you are.
Thank you so much. I am so grateful to have spent this time with you and to digitally or virtually meet your community. I really appreciate you so much.
Yeah, same.